casually, and it's been very, very poorly administered at times by me, but this year it's different. And you know, I can be vulnerable and transparent. You guys all know most of my junk anyhow. I say most of it. Greg knows just about all. My wife knows it all, okay? And Greg knows, Greg and Dan knows quite a bit of it too. But you know, the reality of it is I used to pray and fast a whole lot more because I was a whole lot more desperate. And I was more desperate because none of you guys were here. And the chairs were janky. And the building was falling down. And we needed something every day just to get by. Just to make it. Isn't it weird that when you get blessed is when you start getting complacent? True confession time. And it's like, okay, here I am, God. I'm saying this before you mostly for accountability, but also to say, look, if you're all feeling anything like that, we're all in the same boat together. You know, if your heart is fully on fire, you're fully engaged, and you know you've been going after it the way, then bless God, come and pray for me. But the reality here is that we are called and really mandated by Scripture to spur one another on. And so 21 days of fasting and prayer isn't just to see what you can give up. You know, I didn't Facebook for 21 days. You know, I didn't get on my phone for 21 days. I didn't eat sweets for 21 days. That really is not what it's about. It's really about doing something else with your time and your energy and entering into voluntary weakness to have your heart tenderized to what God's saying. If you give up a meal, spend that time worshiping, praying, or pursuing God in the Word. Your energy, you know. It doesn't mean, well, I didn't want to Facebook. I just went to Netflix. Well, guess what? It's not really going to work that way, okay? That's a fast, isn't it? No, it's not. I remember when Mike Bickle first started, I heard him talking about it. And just so you know, we don't count milkshake fasting, okay? I'm like, what? Yeah, I'm fasting. I'm just eating milkshakes. Look, okay, anybody can do that. Ice cream diet is not a diet, okay? This, so you know, and so the picture of what we're after is to have our hearts fully alive, and we're just gonna our prayer meetings and our times together really is about cultivating and fanning the flame for one another. See, this is you know, I know all the stuff that goes on in our minds because it goes on in mine. I told everybody recently, I said, the racetrack stuff just going around up there, and I'm trying to. But the picture of, well, I'm doing okay with my personal devotional time with God. My walk, I'm growing, I feel spiritually vibrant. I'm in the Word with diligence, and my marriage is good, and my job is great, and things are good. And it's like, that's awesome. That's just not a reason not to come and pray with people. That's not a reason not to come and worship together. That's not a reason. The idea is that every day we would be building up others and being built up at the same time, not occasionally when we feel like we need a little jump start. See, the New Testament picture of Christianity is what I've said all along I want to move towards. And the greatest reality that seems to confront me is the American idea of Christianity in my own heart, not in your life. Beloved, that's between you and God. But in my own heart, to be aimed towards a Christianity that focuses towards a weekend event called church. This is just going to tell you the reality that I'm being confronted with, that I'm seeing is I used to fast and pray week. I used to pray daily, fast weekly. I used to want to always meet and worship God, and it didn't matter. I toyed with the idea of not meeting on Sundays because I didn't think that Sunday was, you know, I thought it was an overemphasized expression. And yet, now my life has changed to the point where I'm going back to an old model that's focusing on Sundays again. And there's something about it that goes, I don't have anything against sin. I love worship and love getting there. But it's like, I can't make my life about what's going to happen on Sunday. I used to never study for sermons. I finding myself doing that. And some of you may go, oh, it's a good idea. No, it's a terrible idea. I don't want to do that. I want to be filled with God every day, and whatever is in my heart, whatever is ministering from me or through me, is from the overflow of being in a constant, consistent, daily life of loving and being loved by God, not by focusing on finding out what might be something good to help people on a Sunday message, to keep crippling people who want to be fed because they've been given a model that says you come to church as a sheep to have a shepherd feed you, instead of you come to church to love God together, to corporately build one another up, and that you should be feeding yourself daily and feeding others when you come. Every day, though, not on Sunday. That's what it looked like. And how did they do that? They sacrificed. Now, the picture isn't I'm trying to do something radical other than I just want to love Jesus radically, okay? This isn't to condemn some model that we're in, because whatever model you're in, I'm in it with you. This model that we're in, I mean, it's not like, well, this is a terrible idea. It's the idea that we're, I believe, going to be required and invited to shift our model. I believe we're going to be invited, and I'll tell you how what it looks like from an example that I know of, okay? The public school system, when my parents were young, was a good school system because it allowed things like prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance and understood that in harvest time, kids go work with the families. Things that made sense. And then when I was a youngster, oh, so many years ago, it got a little different because they still paddled bottoms for children who didn't behave properly. And they, and the principal had authority. And when children didn't behave properly, their parents were brought in and said, your children are not behaving, and that's not acceptable, and if you're going to ask us to educate them for you, you need to discipline them. And now, children, I've had a good look of the school system where parents come in with their children and holler at the school for the way their children are behaving and ask the school to fix them and blame them for them being, and any discipline is totally and completely refused, and you'd never think about paddling a bottom, and the whole thing is upside down. And so some people got fed up with it and said, we're going to do something different. It's our legal right, and it's called, we're going to school them at home. We're going to teach them in our own house, and the movement, so to speak, of homeschooling came about, and now there's a good portion of people that are, and the statistics are showing. Now, people can still go to good education in public school. If parents and children are on a good wavelength, there's still plenty of opportunity for good education in public school, parochial school. But the statistics are now coming out that the homeschools are the ones that are getting the highest scores, test scores, and grades. In a lot of ways, compared to the average public school. What's going on? They resisted the model that was not giving them the true results that they desired, and they adopted a new model. And though it was difficult, because you remember, I it's a little bit more acceptable. Now, I guess in here we've got Rod and Jack. Do you homeschool too? Do you homeschool children? Yeah, that's good. But the pressure that people go, you do what? I tell you, really want to get pressure. Talk about having a home birth. Yeah. That's how Dana was born. Is she here? No, she's not here this morning. But just, you did what? You had a baby at your house? Well, how do you think they did it for the last several centuries before they had these things called hospitals of the last 100 years? And just, we get conditioned into accepting a societal norm that completely resists what we know is natural or right or supernatural, spiritually right, and then we're confused by why things aren't the way they used to be or the way they... Beloved, we need to be historians again and find out what has made this country was men and women who sacrificed in prayer. What made the church a vibrant entity were people who consecrated and committed themselves and considered not their lives even unto death to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to every tribe, nation, and tongue. Now, because we're modernized, that doesn't necessarily mean there's we still don't. I was just at a summit in Kansas City, a glorious meeting. We had a glorious meeting with the international and national leaders at the leadership summit. It was an honor to be there, and men and women of God that from John Dawson, head of YWAM, and Larry Lee, just an incredible minister, to Matt Redman, to just, you know, people that you know, are globally affecting the world with missions and prayer and music. And we were there. You know, we were humbled. And I'm like, what are we doing here? But we were there. And just profound times of seeing and hearing that God is moving mightily in the nations of the earth. But the one consistent, unalterable truth of every move of God that's going on is that it's being fortified by night and day prayer. The missions movement is saying our missions were struggling in difficulty until we embrace this thing that Mike Bickle has been trumpeting for the last decade called night and day prayer. And prayer is shifting. The Bible translators from Wycliffe, the Bible people, you know who Wycliffe is here? The Wycliffe, whichever way they say it. Depends on if you're British or not, I think. Wycliffe or Wycliffe, but they're there. It's called the Seed Company, and they had a list of all the languages left to have Bibles translated to them, and they asked the prayer movement, the people that are getting the gospel out in their Bible and everything, asked the prayer movement, came and said, would each of you houses of prayer leaders take just one tongue, one tribe of people, and pray for them over this next year? We'll see you next year to tell you what the results of your prayers are. So we took we have a name and a tribe and a people. Because the word is something like 20 by 2025, that there will be, every language will have a translation by 2025. Beloved, we are living in the most exciting times ever. The time before Jesus returns and he's preparing the earth. And our participation matters. And we don't have to be great preachers. We don't have to be great teachers. We just have to pray. We just have to learn how to agree with him in prayer and worship. Many are called, few are chosen. Why are few chosen? Because few say yes to the simplicity of a life of prayer. I'm excited that God has invited us into this. I'm inviting you to consecrate yourself in prayer and fasting over this time. And I'm going to be in contact with people. You know, I'm just stirred to be in contact with people. I'm stirred to hear what the Lord is showing people. And I believe 2014 is going to be a fantastic year. You say, what is the deal with fasting? Just so you know, we don't believe you're earning. Many times in the past, people believe they were earning God's favor or earning God's blessing. That's not it at all. It's just literally voluntarily weakening ourselves physically and allowing our spirit to be more sensitized to God. We actually, fasting in a real plain way expands our capacity to have more of God faster. Is that a good way to put it? Fasting expands our capacity to have more of God faster. When you're not satiating yourself, because I can just tell you, everything I do that I think makes me happy causes me to be a little more dull, okay? When I eat, what I want to do after, take a nap. Why? I just get that dull feeling, okay? When I take a nap, I wake up and I go, oh, I'm kind of feeling worse than I did when I took my nap. Well, because the answer to our lethargy is not more naps. The answer to our sluggishness is not sleep more. I think the answer, you know, Larry Lee said that. That was one thing. I think it was him. He says, the problem, somebody, it might have been Alan Hood or Corey Russell, one of the guys said something that was so funny, but it was true. I can't think of how they put it, though, so I'm just leaving you hanging there. Yeah, it was like something like, we're so tired because we sleep too much. The reason why the church is so tired is because we sleep so much. And of course, they're talking spiritually. We intentionally stay asleep to so much. I just want to wake up. That's my 21-day cry, is God, wake my heart up and fully engage me to love you. There's just a lot of stuff going on. I can't go into all of it. I want to remind everybody to pray for Marlene, by the way. She had an episode yesterday where she got she passed out, and she was with Julia Tala, and so they called the ambulance. She passed out twice, I think. Called the ambulance and took her in. She's been dealing with blood issues. Her blood thinner caused her to break out in hives, and they took her off of it. And apparently, there's something that's affecting her blood pressure and running tests. They don't know exactly what's going on, but keep her in your prayers. I'm also gonna let you know that Bill Corrington is home from the hospital, but he had a real bad infection, and you know, his health hasn't been so good. And so just remember, let's just pray for them right now. Father, we thank you today for Bill and for Marlene, and God, for your great love for them. Lord, they're our family, a brother and our sister, Lord. And so, God, we lift them up to you this morning, Lord. We bring their name before your throne, and we say, God, would you touch Marlene Marshall? Father, would you bring about quick healing and restoration to her and her body, Lord, that she may run and not grow weary and walk and not be faint, Lord. Father, we ask for a healing for Bill, Lord, for his health to be restored, Lord, and for their lifestyle, Father God, to reflect, Lord, your kingdom, your glory, your power, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I got one more thing, and I'm going to cut everybody loose. This is really weird for me, and not weird, but it's bizarre because I asked the Lord multiple times and didn't feel like there was a message this morning specifically. And then when I got here, he reminded me of a message I spoke 2 weeks ago on loving. And that was one of the. I don't know if you were here or not, but one of the things that I said in that message, practical ways to love people, is speak to the nobility in them. Do you guys remember? Speak to the nobility in them. Well, thank you. So as much as this might feel weird for you, I'm going to speak to the nobility in you this morning, just for a brief moment. And that's the best way I can say it. I'm going to start with the most noble woman I know. And just say, Kelly, your consistency and the way you love me is incredible. I didn't write any of this down. I'm looking down at this because if I look at her, I'll cry. So there's nothing. Her name is the only thing written down here, okay? And I'm going to try to get through this. But Kelly, just the fact that, you know, we're going to celebrate 33 years together. I got it right, didn't I? In April. And the fact that you've stuck with me and you know my worst. You've seen me at my worst. You've had to tolerate my worst. And there's a whole lot of wives that could learn a lot from you. And I'm just praying that you'll use that sometimes shy little demeanor of yours, but when you get going, it's the warrior queen that you'll allow the Lord to let others know what he and I know about you, to encourage them. Kevin, you're on my list too, buddy. I just want to say thank you for loving those other people don't see. And I did write something down to Kevin's name. It says big with a great big heart, because that's who you are, bro. And, you know, just thank you for having that heart and reminding us. You know, Kevin is really an extension of us to love people that we don't have contact with. But God loves them, and Kevin loves them. And Rod and Jacqueline, I just want to thank you guys for just being, you know, I see peace and joy. And I'm not going to say which one's which, okay? No. But literally, you know, we're reaping the benefits of the way you guys have loved Jesus and have lived genuinely. And I want to thank you for just being people of compassion and being people willing to serve. And, you know, the attributes that you guys embody are coming forth brilliantly through Blaine and Selena and Jude and Charlie. And we love each of them. We're so thankful that you guys have said yes to Jesus in so many ways. And And I'm watching Blaine, and I'm watching Selena say yes to Jesus. I'm watching Jude. Mostly I'm watching Charlie run around, but I know he's saying yes to Jesus too. But you know, just the willingness to say it's worth it. And your message is being heard and seen. We're living epistles, and it's being seen. This is in no particular order, but Steve and Andrew, you guys are like father, like son in a lot of ways. But it's like, Steve, you've done what a lot of you and I are the same generation. Steve and I have meeting and visiting regular, and we share a lot of things in common. We've not ever done everything right all the time, but one thing for sure, Steve, is you've never let go of Jesus. And now I see Andrew, and you can be sure that he's got the good stuff. He's got the good stuff. As parents, so many times we go, I just don't want to pass along my junk to my kids. You know, we try not to, but the reality of it is he's going to have to fight some of the same battles, but he's not going to have to fight them all because he's steady Eddie, man. Steve, you did a good job, and you're continuing to do a good job. And Andrew, man, just be who God called you to be, because you're a forerunner. You know, you can't conform. It doesn't work for you. And I know in your heart, you just want to be who Jesus called you to be. So good job, and keep that going. Amy and Roger, there's a list here on that one. But the most team player, hunger for more, teachable, compassionate example of what redemption looks like. I didn't know you before, I just know you after. But it's beautiful what after looks like. And so I know that him who loves much has been forgiven much. But I'm just thankful that your faithfulness is in my everyday awareness that, you know, and that's just one of those things. Sometimes you go, who could I call for help? Or who would be willing to do this? And it's like your guys' names always like right there because of your faithfulness. So I just want to thank you. Mike, your childlike faith and your willingness to be pruned and shaped and form for God continues to inspire me. Don't ever lose that. For those of you who don't know, you know, Mike has a challenge because sometimes his communication gets scrambled because he had an accident when he was young. And so when I first met Mike and I had to help him with giving some correction, I was going to be a little gentle or a little more tender with him. And he said, just tell me how it is. And so I probably got as harsh with this guy as anybody I've ever been done with. And you know what he did? He said, thank you. That's what I needed. I punched him in the nose, and he said, I appreciate that because that's what I needed right now. And so I really did. Not literally, but spiritually. Thank you. Sorry, Charlie. Rod, I'm sure you explained that to Charlie. I didn't. Oh, got to watch it there. Yeah, there wasn't no punching. I didn't do that. But it's just the ability to continue to be shaped. Thank you. Joel Scarborough, I just want to, your hunger for God and your desire to pursue him in the word and to make him known, you challenge me every day, every week. And I want to thank you for that and for your desire just to go deeper in God. This is the time for an intermission. Okay, Larry and April, your strong desire to have a godly family is working. And the testimony of not giving up through the different seasons is appreciated much. I see Mariah and her creativity and her work ethic. I see Michaela and this joy and this drive. I see Marissa with a gentle spirit and a fiery attitude together. And I go, wow, you guys, well done. Well done. I kind of spilled the beans a little bit ago because when I saw Jason and Laura, the words fire and rain literally came to me. Fire and rain. But it's because you both have fire and rain. It's not because one's one and one's the other. You guys are a unique expression of wholeheartedness that we all really, really look up to. And you know, I'm honored. when you know, I've told these guys this, but, you know, Jason's going to get married. And, you know, the first thought of mine is, yay, Jason, but you're not going to go anywhere, are you? Because, you know, I've had a few people get married and leave over the years, you know. And praise God, the answer was no. We're going to be here. And we're thrilled to have in our midst people who are an example of love and of consecration and of purity and dedication. And I wish I had a million more just like you, because we're going to change the world with hearts like that, at least our little part of it. Fire and rain, both of you. What does that mean? Figure that out, okay? Fire, fiery, but rain, like refreshing. Both of them. Thank you, Jesus. Dan, I just want to thank you again for being such a deep well and challenge me every moment of every time we're even ever together. You're an awesome brother. You're an awesome friend. I wish I could take some of the treasure that I've heard in our times together and just disperse it to people, because your hunger for God and the adventures and experiences you had have touched my life profoundly, and I know they'll touch others. So I pray this year that a whole lot more people will be drinking from the deep well that's Dan May. Greg and Debbie, there's probably the easiest way to describe the Browns, as I could say it in one word, pillars. And a community needs pillars. And I'm thankful that this community has you guys. This community wouldn't be who we are without you. And thank you. Mike and Femi, you guys are apart from each other, but you're one. And I'm thanking you that you love God first, that you're fighting, not with each other, but for each other, and for wholeness and for your relationship in God. The three words were lovers, fighters, and overcomers. And, you know, you've made it over some humps, not to say there's not a few that you still have to make it over, but you're not called to quit, either of you. You're overcomers. And thanks for saying yes. Greg, there are no words. If I had a prayer for all of you in here, if each of you could have at least one friend like that, man. If you could have one friend like Greg Duquette, you would be a rich person. His faithfulness, his understanding, a I've been jealous of him in so many ways, not in an unholy way, but in a godly way. Because I see the way he loves and the way he serves when nobody's looking. Greg, you're great in heaven. I know that. Even if nobody sees it here. And Joel Duquette, because we got two Joels, and you can't double dip. This desire you have to impact the generations, to call others younger than yourself to fall in love with Jesus, and ones of your own generation to get serious about their relationship with God. God's going to manifest that. I just want to thank you for not just going with whatever flow, but having a goal to expand and release the kingdom of God in a greater way. I'm thankful. You know, Joel's another one. You know, when he says, I'm going away, I'm thinking, you know, not forever, God. You know, we got to have this guy. And so it was joyful when he let me know that his long-term goal was, I want the night and day prayer. I want young people on fire. I want the generations rocked. I want Jesus exalted. I want Springfield to give glory to Jesus. I told him when he was a little kid, he was a prophet by the Spirit of God. And now I'm watching it. The day's going to come where I'm not going to be here, but he's going to be up here. And this isn't going to, little room isn't going to be able to contain everybody, because the dream that's been on his heart and each of our hearts really is not going to be a dream forever. At some point it's going to be a reality. Stand with me this morning. I want to bless you all and pray, and we're going to hit the road. Thank you for Jeff Burris. Dan might not have heard, but I'm going to bless you again. Your example of how to love your wife, how to love your parents. I might have missed it on the list here. Examples and testimony of what God can do. And really just the story. You guys have got to tell your story. Okay? You may not be ready to tell it now, but when I see this beautiful family, I go, what an awesome story. How beautiful. And when I hear where you've came from and how things have gone, I just want to give glory to God. And I think other people will too. So I want to encourage you guys, tell your story, because it's just God's goodness and God's faithfulness. And us weak people saying, yes, okay, God, I'll say yes again. So thanks. Thanks for saying yes to Jesus. Yes. No, that doesn't count. The rules are against that. Well, Renee, you're going to. I know you well enough, so.
Doesn't matter what I answer, she's going to.
We are so thankful for Scott. I think I speak for all of us when I say that Scott does way more than we could ever afford to pay him for, and he does it very joyfully. I love when you come to church and Scott always has a hug for everybody. When I come on Tuesday or Thursdays and characters walk in that I'm a little bit scared of, but Scott just walks right up to them like they are the finely dressed, most prestigious, highly thought of person in the entire town. I love how Scott doesn't see people for who they are, but he attributes value for their potential. And really, doesn't that make us all who we are? When people see us not for who we are now and not where we've been, but for the potential and identity that we have in Christ. Amen.
Thanks, Shanae. Thank you. I appreciate that. Father, we thank you today. God, I just bless my friends. Lord, I bless this family. Lord, and our ones that aren't here, God, we just send a blessing to the homes. And Father, I'm asking that you would knit us together in such a way, Lord, in the coming year, God, that this community would shine with your brightness, Lord, would serve, God, with your humility. Father, would love with your passion. Father, would pursue you with your zeal. Lord, bless us as we go today. Father, I thank you for the men and